Welcome to Heart of the Matter Radio with author and host Cynthia L. Simmons. How does a godly woman live in a world out of sync? Cynthia digs into the issues women face in our complex culture to set a path through the chaos. It's for women seeking the elegance of God's wisdom. So prepare yourself to listen, learn, and rest. Now here's your host, Cynthia L. Simmons.
One day, I made a birthday cake, and I had it just perfect. We're going to have a birthday party that night, and I left it sitting on the counter in the kitchen. But when I entered later, it was about an hour later, I saw one of my children sticking her finger in the icing. I doubt she thought before she did that, but that was very typical of her life. Impulsive, doing what feels good. That is so easy to do. Well, I love history, and I was reading this particular gentleman who wrote in the 1800s, and he said, "Nations don't think, they feel." And you know, I've thought about that so many times. I think that that describes most people in our nation. Emotions drive us. We give in when those feelings scream loudly enough, but we need to stop and ask ourselves if that is wise. Because that can lead us to getting drunk, eating poorly, clogging our veins, being rude, losing relationships. So what's the answer? I love what the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:11. "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." That verse actually says we can't follow our urges. Now think about that. A dog must bark because he's a dog. But God gives us the ability to choose something better because Jesus is our Lord. Today I have Carol McLeod, and she has just finished the book, Guide Your Mind, Guard Your Heart, and Grace Your Tongue. And I love the order of those three. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's so great to be with you today.
You know, I think that the order of that is perfect because you have to start in the mind. How can guarding our mind help us in this dilemma that we live in?
Yeah, you know, Cynthia, I really wrote this book. I had read other books before on, you know, the power of your thought life, on your emotions, on the power of your tongue. But I'd never seen a book that talked about the biblical injunction that all three are tied together. And so what I often say, Cynthia, is that, you know what, your tongue is really not your problem. Your tongue is just a muscle. It's a puppet on a string, and it obeys your mind and your heart. So let's get to work on the back end of you, which is your mind and your heart. So the Bible says that as a man or a woman thinks within themselves, so is he. So what this verse is telling us, Cynthia, that the thoughts that we think today become the we that we are tomorrow. So if today you are thinking angry, critical, negative thoughts, and you allow them to stay in your brain, you will eventually become an angry, critical, bitter woman. That's who you'll become, because who you become begins in your mind.
Absolutely.
It begins in the thoughts that you think. So we have to go to the root issue, which is our mind. It's the thoughts that we think. And we've got to clear up the sewage that we have allowed to remain in our brains.
If you think about it, nobody ever does something they haven't thought about first. In fact, you hear stories of people thinking about something for a long period of time. And as they do that, they actually plan how they're going to do something. And then they may blow up something, rob a bank, but they've been thinking about it for a long time. So as they sit around thinking about it, it becomes more and more likely that they're going to go out and do it. So you start in your mind, and then your body starts to go with it because you plan something, you go do it. And that's where we've got to start thinking differently by, and I know you're going to say, the Word of God, right?
Yeah, that's right, because you don't have a chance of cleaning up your brain with just thinking positive thoughts, with just saying, oh, tomorrow I'm going to be a millionaire. Oh, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to be a millionaire. Oh, tomorrow I am going to lose 37 pounds. Tomorrow I'm going to lose. Those, No. So that's positive thinking. But the only way you can clean up your brain is through the Word of God. That's the only tool powerful enough that can go in and scour all those dirty crevices, all those cavities of filth and dirt that have accumulated over the years of your life. And you know what, Cynthia? This is especially true with people who are dealing with deep rejection or abuse issues. That lingers in the crevices of your brain. And in order to clean your brain up from the damage that has done, you have to think the Word of God. And, you know, so what I do is whenever I'm in a battle now, and I'm in battles all the time, let me just tell you, Cynthia, you know, life is not as easy as people think it is. And, you know, when you just get through one vicious battle, you're in another. And for me, the only way to clean up my brain has been to ask the Lord for a fighting verse, to ask the Lord for a scripture that's going to give me the mental power to make it through a situation in life. And, you know, you and I are moms and we love being moms. And I know a lot of your audience are moms and moms tend to be worriers. Isn't that the truth?
Yes, we do.
We tend to just, we can call it concern, but it's worry. And the only way I can stop myself from worrying about my young adult children is to have a scripture that I attach to them and to their name. And when I do that, when I declare things like, Lord, you love Jordan more than I do. You have plans for welfare and for blessing for him, not for calamity, not for destruction. So Lord, I thank you today that when you look at Jordan, you got a great plan for him. I thank you, Lord, that you're working all things together for good behind the scenes of his life. So as women, we have to start to think scriptures when it comes to our marriage, when it comes to our children, when it comes to our finances, because the only way to clean up your brain is through the Word of God.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think there are some things that are in my mind just because I'm a sinner, because my parents didn't give them the idea and nobody else did either. I think it's just I got the wrong idea somewhere out in the world. Maybe it was from a TV program or a radio program. So you could have all kinds of thoughts in your mind that can cause you to live the wrong way or think the wrong way, even get upset about something, and it's a wrong thought. So I think it's so important that we are continuously exposing our thoughts to the truth in the Word so that we can get them right and think the right way.
Yeah, because, again, the enemy is on a relentless 24/7 battle to distract us, to get our attention, to get us to be discouraged or bitter or to worry about something. He doesn't let go. And so, honestly, do you think that 5 minutes in the Word of God every morning is going to be enough?
No.
Do you think that only 1 hour every week in church is, you know, it's going to help you. It's going to bolster you a little bit. But for us as women of God who want to live strategic, significant lives, we have to empower our thinking with the Word of God. You know, one of the stories I tell in that book, Cynthia, is of a woman, and she was actually my mother. And when mom was in her early 30s, she had a massive nervous breakdown. She was in a mental ward for 3 weeks. And, you know, we were all young kids, and, you know, my dad would take care of us and run to the hospital. And she was, you know, on high doses of medication. And she was in this drug-induced stupor. And as she started to come out of it, the thing that came to her mind were the Bible verses that she had learned in Sunday school.
Right.
And my father was sitting beside her. And as she began to mumble and to come out of it, all he heard was, how blessed is the man that standeth not in the seat of the council. But, you know, he heard her declare the Word of God, verses that she hadn't thought of since she was tiny. The Word of God is powerful, and it will be your stronghold during difficult days of life mentally.
That's right. And I love your idea about praying about your children. And in that case, I guess you were probably too young, But, you know, if a parent gets ill, to attach a verse to them and pray that over them when you are tempted to worry, because we're good at worry. I love that idea.
Oh, I know. You know, some of us could earn an Olympic gold medal in worrying, honestly. And, you know, the mistake that we've made is we have thought that if we love somebody, surely we're going to worry about them. And the greater our love for them, the greater the concern. No, actually not. The greater we love them, the more we should stand in faith, believing that God is a good God and that He is well able to take care of everything that concerns them.
And what you're doing is you're replacing worry with prayer, which is a very healthy thing to do. The Bible has a lot of stop this and start this, and so that's very healthy. So every time you think of that child, pray for them and pray for God to deal with whatever the issue is using that passage. And that way, you don't have to worry and produce all those nasty hormones in your body that will make you sick.
Right, exactly. Good word.
You also talk in here about practice makes perfect. So, okay, you know the word, and still you tend to mess up. So how can we be kind to ourselves when we do mess up? Because I do it too.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves, because we can rehearse the mistakes that we've made to infinity and beyond. And so, again, it's the habit, it's the practice of taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we have to realize when we're thinking negative critical thoughts about ourselves, we're agreeing with the enemy. We're saying that, yes, his assessment of us is true, whereas we have to get our minds and our emotions under the authority of what God is saying about us. And so, you know, if one of the listeners today is thinking about how she's blown it in life as a mother, as a wife, as a daughter, and she has, you know, regrets the size of Mount Rushmore, listen, every day is a new day to serve the Lord. Every day is a fresh start. Every day is a new opportunity to encourage and to love the people in your family. And one thing I've discovered about mothering is that children are resilient. They forgive their mamas quickly. And so all you have to do, whether it's a two-month-old baby that you got impatient with because they were crying in the middle of the night, or a 37-year-old who forgot your birthday, all you have to do is say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you for acting that way. And then what we have to do, and for me, this has been helpful, Cynthia, in addition to forgiving myself and confessing it, I ask the other person to forgive me, you know, whether it's a child or a friend or. And then the third thing is to attach myself to a scripture verse about how God sees me. I thank him that his mercies are new every morning, that I am not the first person in all of recorded history that has sinned so big that God can't forgive me. No, that's not true.
I love I love that. Because I have a really hard time letting go of my past blubs or mistakes. I think, oh, how could I have done that? So that is very helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what that really is, Cynthia? That's pride.
Yeah,
when,
it is.
When you say, I'm the only person in all of recorded history that has done this and God is not able to forgive me. Mm-hmm. Well, sister, it's not about you. It's about the grace of God, and his grace covers a multitude of sins.
Well, we've been talking about the mind, but I think we've actually bled into the heart a little bit, because our heart is going to react to what we think. So can we talk a little bit about guarding our heart and how we can do that?
Yeah, so it says in the Word of God to guard your heart above everything else, for from it flows the issues of life. So the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, has given us a job description concerning our hearts, and that's to guard it above everything else we do in life. Guard your heart. Most important thing you'll ever do in life, guard your heart. The problem with your heart is it doesn't want to be guarded. It wants to be expressive. And so you are in this emotional and spiritual tug of war with your emotions. And unfortunately, We live in a culture that has idolized emotions. We have idolized feelings. And we hear these new age self-help gurus saying, if you think it, say it. If you believe it, say it. I don't see that in the Word of God, Cynthia. I don't see that in the Word of God. If you feel it, control it. If you feel it, submit it. There are moments in life when we're going to feel angry, when we're going to feel outraged at what's happening, when we're going to be tempted to worry. Well, the Bible's given you your plan. Guard it. Guard it. So guard it. That word guard in the Hebrew is such a beautiful word, and it means many different things. But one of the things it means is it was describing the ships that would guard a harbor, especially during times of war. And the ships would go back and forth, and they'd cover a large distance so no enemy forces could get in. And that's what we need to do, especially during times of war, especially during heated times in life. A death, sending a child off to college when the finances are low. We need to cover a great area in front of our hearts and not let those enemy feelings come in. But we have to guard our heart above everything else.
Which means that we choose not to do what feels good.
Yeah, yeah, we do. If, you know what, if we cannot justify something by the Word of God, then we don't get to do it. Then we don't get to say it. You know, Cynthia, this is so apparent on social media as we watch other people spew venom, spew verbal vomit, spew emotional outrage on folks they don't even know. Are you kidding me? No, just rein it in. Just guard your heart above everything else. You don't get to say everything you think, feel, and believe. You just don't.
Right. And so what you're really talking about now, as you guard your heart, you're guarding your tongue. You're saying, I'm not going to say that thing that popped to my mind when they unleashed on me.
Yeah, because Cynthia, the reason God gave you a tongue is a very, two very specific reasons. And this is all you get to do with your tongue. You get to encourage people who are made in the image of God, and you get to worship Him. Those are the only two reasons God gave you a tongue. He didn't give you a tongue to slice and dice somebody. He didn't give you a tongue to worry and to complain out loud. You know, for all three of the issues that I cover in the book, your mind, your heart, and your tongue, we look specifically at the purpose that God gave you. He gave you a mind to think the thoughts of God because we have the mind of Christ. He gave you a heart to partner with Him in mercy and compassion of the world around you. And He gave you a tongue to encourage people and to worship Him. So we have to use those body parts for the purpose for which they were made.
Right, and we can use our tongue to be ready to give an answer to someone of the hope that is within us, which is a form of encouragement, like you said.
It is.
But we need to know what our hope is and be able to tell that in a very gracious way.
Yeah, you know, Cynthia, this will be a good practical example for the listeners. I'm very active on social media. I have a lot of people who follow me on Facebook. And what I have decided is I will never make a comment on a politician or on an election. And people might say, Carol, but use your platform. Nope, not going to do it. Because I don't want to draw such a small circle that then I can't tell somebody about Jesus. I want to tell people about Jesus who vote for different people than I do. That's more important to me. Now, some people are called to that, and that's great, and just do it with kindness and love and blessing. But for me, I'm going to keep my circle big enough that when people are depressed, they want to know what I have to say. When people lose a child, they come to me. And so that is where I've had to draw a very specific line in the sand that I'm going to use social media to encourage people, to remind them of the joy of an ordinary day, to leave a scripture verse or a great song lyric, because then when they need encouragement, they're going to know I'm a safe place.
Part of what I like to do is apologetics, which is not really dealing with the heart, it's dealing with the mind. But you still have to do that very graciously, because people's emotions can be out of whack, and if they're out of whack, they're not going to be able to accept that. I think it takes time, if someone is suffering, to be able to understand the apologetic side.
Yeah, it's called relationship, that you build a relationship with them.
Exactly.
Whether it's on social media, because you and I have discovered some of our best friends are our social media friends.
That's right.
But we can still build relationship with them and then talk about challenging situations.
And that we have a tea party on Tuesday night for young people. And they come and bring their questions and the issues that they have. And a lot of times over time, we see them grow. And a lot of times they deal with those difficult issues. But yeah, you can't just pop off the answer and expect them to be okay tomorrow. You know, a lot of times they have to work through it. And I think that's the mind and emotions kind of working together.
Yeah, it really is.
You mentioned something else that I want to kind of finish up with.
Sure.
We live in a world that is less and less friendly toward our faith. And so it's really, especially as women, I think we're very prone to fear, because we know what we believe and we're going to hang on to it. But the world is hostile. So how can we overcome that fear?
Well, I think the way we overcome fear is by knowing destiny. It's by understanding purpose. And then you make your decisions verbally, mentally, and emotionally based on your purpose or your destiny. So we know that we've been created in the image of Christ. We know that the reason that we are here on planet Earth is to love difficult people, to worship Him, to encourage others. And for me, that also includes, I have a saying, Cynthia, that I think you've heard me say before, I am still here. I am still sucking in oxygen to make hell smaller and heaven bigger. And so then that, if that is my guiding purpose, I know my destiny, then when I'm in the grocery store and the girl who's checking me out, you know, she might be all tatted up and have piercings, and she might be in a grouchy mood, and I can look at her and say, "Hey, what's going on? Are you having a good day?" And she says, "Well, no, I'm not. My husband might be." And I can say, "Hey, I know we don't have a long time to talk, that I'm just in and out, but I just want to assure you, you are completely loved by the Creator of the universe, and He's got His eye on you, and you are not forgotten, and I'm going to be praying for you." Mm-hmm. That's all you do. That's all you do, because I know my purpose. I am here to make hell smaller and heaven bigger.
That's right.
And I think for women, we've lost our purpose. We think our purpose is to get a new Starbucks every day, to make sure the house is a little bit clean, and to watch my new Netflix show. No. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to make hell smaller and heaven bigger. So live in your destiny. So live in your purpose, and do it gently. Do it kindly. You don't need to be a theologian to do it. You just need to love Jesus and love people, and it'll take the fear out of it.
But you know, if you love Jesus and love people and spend time in the Word, you're going to become a theologian given enough time.
It's true, because theology is just the study of God.
Yeah, I mean,
just learning more about God.
C.S. Lewis said, "You don't have to be educated to become a Christian, but if you become a Christian, you're going to become educated."
I love it. I love C.S. Lewis.
I do too. All right. Thank you, Carol. And we can find Carol at Carol McLeod Ministries. And spell that for us, Carol.
Yeah, it's McLeod, McLeod.
And she has lots of neat things there. You can find her books there, and you can find out more about her and her speaking engagements. And I want to give a big thank you to you, Carol. You always bless me every time.
Oh, Cynthia, I love being with you. I love sharing the Word with you. I love sharing encouragement with you. So anytime.
Blessings to you.
You've been listening to Heart of the Matter Radio with Cynthia L. Simmons. Your comments and questions are always welcome. contact us at cynthia@clsimmons.com. We'd love to hear from you, whether you're an author, young mom, a mother of teens, a homeschool mother, or an empty nester. Join us next time as Cynthia once again sets a path to grow in wisdom and a closer walk with the Savior, here on Heart of the Matter Radio.